Canucks Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Visit kintec.net. And of course, this hour of Canuck Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza.
Pizza course, time.
That is open and available today, as it is a Canucks game day. They are in the peg. Winnipeg on tap for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yes, it's apparently very cold in Winnipeg. And
oh, really?
Yes.
Never heard that before about the peg.
Just saying, it's extra cold, apparently.
Is the Wi-Fi working?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it's fine.
Is that still a thing? Do players still complain about the Wi-Fi in Winnipeg?
What, was the Wi-Fi in Winnipeg bad?
Yeah, it was.
I don't remember hearing this.
They just like didn't have Wi-Fi.
Players complained about the Wi-Fi in Winnipeg.
The hamster was off the wheel.
We don't have Wi-Fi in Winnipeg.
It's too cold. The lines are frozen.
That's
wait, rough. That doesn't make any sense.
Interwebs are frozen.
Jets are really good, though. 61 points on the year in just 44 games played. Connor Hellebuyck is an absolute stud, as usual. So it is a tough one. Rick Bowness is going to join us, of course, Hockey Night in Canada analyst, and was the coach of the Winnipeg Jets over the last couple of seasons. He'll join us after 3:30. But let's get to it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the ongoing conversation around the Canucks so much about, okay, what's the second half going to look like? Miller and Pettersson, it seems like the feud conversation is dying down a little bit over the last little while.
Oh, but, is it?
I mean, it feels like it. Mm-hmm. There's not insiders across the hockey world just poking and prodding to see if there's any more there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of been the common thing you hear now when you hear insiders speak. It's kind of quiet. There's not much going on, which is good.
That is good. But around Rick Tocchet, there seems to be some storylines developing a little bit. We talked about it a little bit yesterday with Don Taylor. Is there a growing lack of confidence maybe from the fan base in the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks after a middling first half of this season following his Jack Adams Award Coach of the Year performance last season? Why can't the Canucks find ways to generate more offense considering the talent that is on this roster? The questions are certainly mounting against the Canucks head coach, which to me feels part of the cycle. You know, coach does really well. There's the honeymoon period. And then as soon as there's the first sign of trouble, like, he's got to be the problem, right? And that just, to me, that's what pro sports normally feels like, and that's the normal cycle that fans seem to go through.
Yeah, and when a team is having success, the coach sometimes gets too much credit, and when things go bad, they get too much blame. That's like the old cliche in hockey, right? But it's also very true, and you went from a year where everything he touched in the regular season turned to gold, essentially, to this year.
Couldn't make a mistake.
Right, to this year where, you know, they're just not coming off as well. So now people go from thinking, oh, this guy is infallible, to he can't get anything right.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go with the swings, right? And he was not probably as good as you thought, and he's certainly not as bad as some people think right now either, right? But I think what he's done more than anything is maintain buy-in from his group. Mm. We can sit here and talk about, hey, what about this strategy, deployment, maybe these breakouts, try this or try that. But the most important thing in hockey is keeping your group together.
Yeah.
Any coach, really, for any professional sport, especially when there are egos involved. And when we look at the team the Canucks have had this year, the players struggling, the storylines, the drama, right, that's been around the team, and also just the injuries they've had.
Yeah.
It's going to be the first time we're going to see Hronek Hughes, Pettersson, Miller, Besser, Demko all healthy together in a game.
Yeah.
Now, Demko's not going to start, but he's there with the team. Like, he's not unhealthy, right? Yes. Lankin has played really well. They have, they're fine in goaltending for
just
the time
being. Somebody else is their number one goalie now.
Yeah. But all these guys are healthy. Yeah. Wait, what happened?
What?
What's going on? But I think if this team gets on a run, we're going to have a real different conversation around the season Rick Tocchet has had. Overcoming adversity, righting the ship, and then getting the team to a point where they look like they're formidable again.
There's a couple of interesting quotes in Ian McIntyre's midseason report from Rick Tocchet. And, you know, as far as how the adversity of the first half of the season could help them, I think the adversity that's hit, hopefully it's going to make some individuals stronger for it. And, you know, there's some guys here that we need to play better. A chunk of them. You can't worry about their first 40 games. They've got to worry about the next 40. So, you know, we all know whom he is talking about, and it's very obvious. You need more out of Pettersson and Miller, more than any other players on this roster. Whatever's going on off the ice, on the ice, they haven't been good enough. That's of the utmost concern for the second half. And the other quote that really got interesting is this one. It seems like every other day there's something that's been thrown on our plate. I've spent a lot of energy around different things. There's holes in the dike, and you've got only so many fingers to stop the bleeding, essentially. Could have used a better couple of words, but that's what happened.
The phrasing wasn't great, but the point was made, right?
Yes.
I think that's a big part of this season. It's been a lot of stuff outside of hockey that have dominated, you know, the headlines for this team, right? And, you know, it was interesting listening to Elliot today. He was on the Fan Hockey Show with Marchese and Fuda today, and he was mentioning that being around the team, because Elliot's in Winnipeg, you know, covering this game, and he was at practice yesterday and watching the guys, you know, today. He said there seems to be a sense of the fact that this stuff got out forced the team to deal with it. Mm. And the team now feels like they're going to put the worst behind them and move forward. But they're kind of happy that everything came to a head and they've kind of hit rock bottom, so to speak. That's what Elliot was saying. The sense he got talking to the guys around the team, right? So I think that sense can be empowering. Right. And I think if you have a head coach that right now has the players buying in, has allowed them at least to this point, get through all this adversity and have your heads above water and still kind of be in the race here. You're 1 point back of Calgary with the same amount of games played, but you're right there. You're a winning streak away from taking charge again. Right. That's a testament to the coaching staff keeping things together. Now, he gave a lot of credit. He's been giving a lot of credit to Quinn Hughes. Elliot was giving a lot of praise to Quinn Hughes and people in the team, you know, crediting his leadership through all this. But the fact that this team is still battling, and we saw it against Toronto, is a testament to the players still being bought in to what the head coach is preaching.
And ultimately, you know, yeah, as a coach, you're going to have some different things go wrong and some different things that you have to deal with. And this year has provided some unexpected challenges for the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. And look, it's natural that you're going to have to deal with players' egos, and big part of being a head coach in any sport is managing players, managing personalities, and getting them, especially differing personalities, to all buy in to the same goal, the same way of playing. And Tocchet was great at that last year. It hadn't clicked as easily early on this season, but what have we seen lately? And certainly through these last three games even, and I know they only have the one regulation win in the three games, but they held Washington under 20 shots. They held Carolina under 20 shots. They held the Maple Leafs to 20 and under. I mean, they've gotten back to their foundation as a team. And I think that's a good sign for where this thing is headed in the second half of the season, because the coach is still getting them to buy into what the foundation needs to be in order for them to have success.
And if he can get this team to figure those things out again offensively and get them to create more chances offensively, and they can hit the playoffs, make the playoffs, and hit the playoffs with some momentum and actually looking like a better, more cohesive team, I think that's the best case scenario. Like, an 82-game season is a marathon, right? Yeah. And as much as there have been a lot of struggles for this Canucks team up until the midway point, here's an opportunity for the final 40 games for you to figure it out and have a sprint heading into the postseason. Whereas over the course of a long season, if you don't hit adversity, you're going to be in a position where you have to face it in the postseason.
Yeah.
And that's not an easy thing to overcome at that point. So there's a huge opportunity here. And I think if you have the right messaging and the right buy-in, this can be a pretty powerful thing if you get hot from this point on into the postseason.
It almost felt like last year in the postseason, like they didn't know how to respond to their first bits of adversity because the first 50 games or whatever of the season had gone so smoothly for the Vancouver Canucks. So yeah, the glass half full view of it is, you know, they're going to respond better to all of the challenges they've had through the first half. But for as much as you can say, you know, Rick Tocchet can do this better, Rick Tocchet can do that better, and deployment can be better, all those things, at the end of the day, since Rick Tocchet's a puzzle guy, I'm going to go with the puzzle analogy. The puzzle doesn't have all the pieces if Elias Pettersson and JT Miller don't start playing like the star players they're supposed to be.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see, you know, if Pettersson has turned the corner here.
Yeah.
And with JT, I think because of the nature of what he's dealing with, it makes it a lot more unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
About, like, because we saw that 4-point performance and it was spectacular.
Virtuoso, JT Miller.
And he hasn't been able to, he doesn't need to play at that level every game.
Yeah.
But to be kind of on a stretch, that's been hard for him to do. And I'm not sure when he's going to be able to do that. Whereas with Pettersson, if he's healthy, he looked healthy.
Yeah.
He strings together games like he did the other night in Toronto.
Even against Carolina, like, you could start to see, like, you saw a different kind of burst in his game, even against Carolina at points of that game. That first shift he had, right? He comes out and he has a couple of really good opportunities. Like, there was moments in the Carolina game where I said, this looks more like the Elias Pettersson I'd come used to seeing. And then it developed and built a little bit more against Toronto, obviously. So, yeah, it does feel like he has turned a corner to some extent.
Yeah, and I think he's the type of player that when he's confident, you can tell, but he also really shows when he's not confident.
Yeah.
Like, the body language, the way he handles the puck, it looks the polar opposite of what he looked like in Toronto.
Yeah. As far as, like, other players that Tocchet could be looking for to have better second halves of the season, I think the two that stick out to me most is probably massive disappointments of the first half for the Canucks, and to differing levels. One obvious one is Nils Höglander. I think the other one's Carson Soucy.
Yeah.
Like, the Canucks could really benefit from those guys finding their games in the second half.
I think Soucy is the big one. I'm with you, man. Like, I think Soucy went from being one of their most steadying presences on the back end. In the postseason, he was spectacular. And
yeah,
he missed half the year. He only played, like, what, 42 games last year, 40 games last year?
Yeah.
But when he's healthy, this team barely lost.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the hope had been that he not only continues what he did last year, but maybe grows into a slightly bigger role. And he's regressed. And I think for a team that's starving on the blue line outside of Hughes and Hronek, having a guy you were counting on regressing has been a huge blow. For all the talk about Myers, of course, like, he's had an up and down year, but I think he's actually been more steady than not the last little bit. And considering the degree of difficulty he has and what he's done, I think he's been okay, right? And even with Hughes, when Hronek was out, he did pretty fairly well, right?
Yeah, the Hughes-Myers pair has been fine.
But Myers has been what Myers is, up and down. We know what to expect, right? It's going to be chaotic at times, and sometimes it works out. Whereas with Soucy, he was supposed to be, like, your third best defenseman.
Yeah.
And he's been nowhere near.
No. It was one of the bets they made in the offseason that they could trust Carson Soucy to take a step and be relied on a little bit more, because he was still playing, like, sub 20 minutes a night, or, you know, even just to get him up to 19 minutes and rely on him a ton. It's been a struggle for the Canucks this year, and we've seen that because they came into the year expecting Carson Soucy and Tyler Myers to pick up where they left off in the playoffs, and they haven't been able to do that. Mm-hmm. And it was a big problem. It has been a big problem through the first half. So Carson Soucy playing a lot better can help. It was interesting Saturday to hear Rick Tocchet praise Jonathan Lekkerimäki unprompted after the game against the Maple Leafs. It's not as though he was lighting the lamp or doing anything too flashy. He was deployed on the fourth line and played still less than 10 minutes on the night. So for Tockett to go out of his way to praise Jonathan Lekkermäki was interesting. Like, do we feel that Lekkermäki has a chance to be a big part of the Canucks in the second half?
A big part, I'm still hesitant to say, but I was so encouraged by how he played on the fourth line and the coach's response to how he played in the fourth line that as much as if Lekkermäki is going to be in the lineup, I want to see him play in an offensive role. There's no doubt.
Right.
But players like him who are still developing and have a lot to learn, need to get quicker, need to get a little bit stronger and learn, you know, how to have success in the National Hockey League, if you can't trust him every night, what's better? You move him out of the lineup and he watches the game from the press box, or he can be reliable enough and understand the game well enough that you can trust him being out there on the fourth line. And yeah, he plays maybe 9-10 minutes, but he's still on the lineup. If something goes awry up top or somebody gets hurt or somebody's struggling, you can always move him up. He could be on your second power play unit. He has a good shot that you can utilize in interesting situations. He's still an asset to your team. So I think if you can have him be trusted by the coach, he gives the team a versatile weapon down your lineup. And obviously you want to see him play an offensive role, but I take that as a big positive. And I think we get so caught up in the roles the players play, but development is the biggest, most important thing. And a coach trusting a player to go through that on a winning team. And hopefully the Canucks can be a winning team and have him, you know, maybe be more than a fourth liner, but at least be in the lineup.
I'd still love to see him in a bigger role, but you know, if he can survive on the fourth line, then we'll take it for the next little bit of the season and see what they can do at the deadline to upgrade higher up the lineup. Canucks Central Roundup, what's going on ahead of the matchup with the Winnipeg Jets? Filip Hronek is back in tonight, confirmed by Rick Tockett earlier today. He will play with and alongside Quinn Hughes, as Tockett said in his pregame availability, they are elite together, and so they're going right back to the Hughes-Hronek pair.
Yeah, and he said, because it's his first game back, we have to watch his minutes, ease him into it, and we'll see how much they watch his minutes. What is
23 minutes is right on target for Filip Hronek.
Okay, so what is watch Filip Hronek's minutes? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like, so let's
don't, they're not going to play him on the second power play unit.
So let's say, yeah, so let's just put Myers out there. Why not, right? Okay, so he was playing 23 and a half minutes a game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Before injury.
Mm-hmm.
Over, under 20 and a half minutes.
Oh, I'm still taking the over.
Right?
Yeah. So, for reference, Quinn Hughes coming back from his injury played 26-15.
Yeah, wasn't
that
game
much
went
shorter
to overtime, too, though, right?
Yeah.
In fairness, that game went to overtime.
Yeah, and he only missed, what, four games?
Yeah.
Hronek's been out for 21.
Yeah. I'm still taking, I'd be surprised. Like, unless the Canucks take a lead or it's a blowout one way or another, right? Unless it's a blowout one way or another, I have a hard time seeing him playing under 20 minutes.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree.
Especially because it just feels like they're going to be like immediately good again.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I feel
and resist the urge against Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I feel
the
total is probably going to be around 22.
22?
Yeah.
I'll say 21.
Mm. I'm going to go 23.07.
$23.07?
Yeah. $1.
Okay.
We watch his minutes. Just play him 30 seconds less than usual.
Producer Dom, still looking up how pucks are made in Slovakia, and that's why he's sticking with $1 on this conversation.
Are they just as hard now?
No, they're softer now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Don't break glass anymore.
Kevin Lankinen, the Canucks' number one goalie, getting the start today against Connor Hellebuck. I mean, it's not really a goalie controversy. It doesn't feel like we've reached that point, but it's pretty obvious who has more trust from the coaching staff for this moment in time.
I'm glad to see this, right? Because I think right now Lankinen is the better goaltender.
Right.
Demko is coming back from injury, and instead of having added pressure on Demko and added an added over-reliance on him, just let him take his time. And and Lankin is coming off a shutout, right? Am I wrong? Did he shut out the Leafs?
He did shut out the Maple Leafs.
Right. It was 3-0. That was the score.
There is only one goalie in the league that has more shutouts than Kevin Lankinen does this year.
And that's who they're facing in Winnipeg.
It's the guy on the other side, Connor Hellebuyck.
They should be treating Lankinen as at least a 1A.
Yeah.
I hope we get to a point where they can alternate starts and Demko takes over, but we're not there yet. And I think for Demko too, because it's still a process for him coming back, it's clear, like we talked to Woodley about this and Valakit made some points about his stance, and we've, you know, and I think there is maybe an overanalysis on everything Demko, but that's the nature of the game, right? But at the same time, an unknown, unchartered injury.
Yeah.
So I think for them to be able to not have to over-rely on him through this is a good thing. So I'm glad to see that they're not trying to rush Demko back to being the number one goalie right away and when his game clearly still needs some work.
One thing that is pretty interesting, though, they do not have a back-to-back from now until the break.
Well, I think Demko probably plays against the Kings. And I think no matter what happens tonight, Demko plays against the Kings. And probably the right thing to do.
So no back-to-backs. I wonder if they go with a fairly straight split here until the All-Star break and break for the Four Nations face-off, but that's going to be something to monitor because I still believe at some point, you know, they do want to give the majority of starts to Demko and try to get him back into form because ultimately that's probably the guy you want to get ready for the postseason run. Speaking of the postseason, Flames won last night, so the Canucks are on the outside of the playoffs looking in right now. At the same time, you know, I keep looking at the standing set and I haven't, as much as I'm impressed by the Calgary Flames' first 42 games of the season, I don't, like I'm still not, my threat level for them to take the playoff spot over the Vancouver Canucks is not very high.
There's a lot more work to do for Calgary.
Yeah.
There's so much more work to do, right? And I think any of the other teams below Calgary, I'm not concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Canucks, as long as they take care of business, they're going to be fine. Are the Canucks going to be able to finish top three in the division? That might be a lot to ask.
Yeah.
But I could see this team being around 100 points by the time the season is over. Like, it wouldn't shock me if we're sitting here and the season is done and they're either at like 99 or 100, 101 points. Like, they're healthy. They have a lot of talent. They have a lot of players who haven't yet gotten hot. And there's a good stretch in this team at some point. Hopefully it's not a good stretch too late. You know what I mean? But there is a good stretch in this team at some point. And I'm maybe overly bullish on what they're able to accomplish here. But I think over the next 40 games, we're at least going to see the best of this team. And I think that's going to be enough for them to be a playoff team at the very least.
One quick thing before we get to Rick Bonus. Darren Dreger reported today that John Klingberg is closing in on resuming his NHL career. Toronto, Ottawa, and Edmonton among the teams that expressed interest, and a decision is expected in the next 2 weeks. He also added Vancouver among the teams that kicked tires with interest in Klingberg. However, unless something changes, the Canucks aren't as keen as others. Canucks were thought to be suitors for Klingberg when he was a free agent, obviously went in a different direction. But you know, it's a right shot D that's coming available as a free agent that is you're just taking a chance on.
Yeah, I think.
Right?
Yeah,
you know that's a need for a lot of teams.
I'm not against it.
Yeah.
You know, like I would not be against him signing whatever contract, a million, league minimum, whatever. That's probably what it's going to be most likely, right? Coming in and playing. If he has any thoughts of going somewhere and having some chance to play in an offensive role, that's probably not happening in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not getting on power play one, obviously.
No.
And you're probably not getting ahead of Hronek either.
You're not getting ahead of Hronek either.
So it's
your best chance is playing on power play two as a second defenseman.
Now, is he even going to get that chance anywhere? That really also kind of depends, right, on what situation you're talking about. And a player coming out off an injury, how likely is it? I would describe the interest as soft.
Yeah.
Because the player's contribution is probably going to be pretty soft too, right? Like coming off this injury mid-season.
Significant hip injury. Yeah. He was really limited in the games that he had played before having to go through this injury situation and this surgery. So really, it's still a long shot for Klingberg to find anywhere near the value that he had earlier in his career. HGTV has a new address. All the latest HGTV shows are now available on Channel 409 on Rogers Xfinity TV. Rick Bonus is next on Canuck Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there, Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.